Good morning. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. I appreciate Brother Mike reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 14. And I want to bring this lesson because I don't know about you, but I've been hearing a lot lately that the world is coming to an end. All of the things that are happening all over the world, people are pointing to this, they're pointing to that. Looky here, looky there. These are the signs that Jesus' return is coming very, very soon. And we even have those who are proclaiming that Jesus Christ, when he does come the second time, he is going to come and establish his kingdom upon this earth and sit on the throne of David physically and establish his kingdom. Now, the problem I have with that, first of all, of what we read in our New Testament concerning the return of Jesus, but secondly, I believe that they are simply saying that the Roman Empire and the Jewish hierarchy was more powerful than God because they killed his son before he could establish his kingdom. That is simply too hard to believe. Now, whether we do or we do not think of the future return of Jesus will have an impact upon the way that we live in this present world, I would like to remind you that a person who is aware that Jesus could return at any moment, it could be the next second. It could be 1,000 years from now. No one knows but the Father. But a person who is aware that Jesus could return at any moment, that person is far less likely to give in to temptation of sin. Now, if Jesus was to come at this moment, are you not glad that you're here worshiping him? Now, I'm not talking about those who are physically unable to be here, okay? So please, don't say that John said you're going to go to hell because you wouldn't at church if Jesus came. That's not what I said. A person who is aware that Jesus could return at any moment, that person is far less likely to give in to the temptation of sin. While on the other hand, a person that never thinks of the return of Jesus, that person many times is far more likely to succumb to the temptation of sin. If we keep in our minds daily that any moment Christ could come, would we want him to find us doing something that we should not be doing? But if we very seldom ever think about the return of Jesus Christ, many times we do things because we don't think about him coming at that moment. Oh, I've got time. So this lesson this morning, I want to remind everyone of 7 events that will occur when Jesus returns. And I hope in these 7 events, you will find that Jesus coming and establishing a kingdom on this earth on the throne of David is going to be false. Okay? Event number 1. Jesus will descend from heaven with the angels and the departed saints. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. The Thessalonians were beside themselves. They believed that Jesus was coming at the next moment. And they were afraid and they were worried about their loved ones, their brothers and sisters in Christ who had already passed away, that they were going to miss out on Jesus' coming. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, there's two things here. First of all, Jesus is going to be coming from heaven. And when he comes, this first part here says that he's going to be coming with his mighty angels. And then we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Jesus is going to come out of heaven. He's going to bring his mighty angels and all of those who have already departed in death. He's going to be coming with them. In the false doctrine of Christ coming and setting up a kingdom on earth at his second coming, you never hear them teaching about God, Jesus, bringing his mighty angels and those that are asleep, those who have died in Christ with him. Why would they need to come back on this earth for 1,000 years when they have already died faithfully? Event number two. This one's kind of scary. All right. The graves will open and the dead will be resurrected from the graves. Oh, the apocalypse. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. All of those that have died, when Jesus comes the second time, all of the dead in Christ are going to hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We don't have to worry about our brothers and sisters in Christ who have died faithfully being left behind. When Christ comes, they're going to be resurrected. Event number three. Those who are still alive at his resurrection will be changed. You know what? People don't like change, do we? We like the same thing over and over and over. Change is uncomfortable. Change, many times, is things unseen. We don't know what's going to happen next. But you know what? We're told right here in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, that the graves are going to be open and the dead's going to be resurrected from their graves, and that those that are still alive, that's me and you right now, we're going to be changed. Be prepared. Look forward to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 and 18. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. With them who? Those that were in the grave. Those who have already passed on. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, here, notice this. We will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where does it say that Jesus is going to establish a kingdom? It never does. We're going to meet Jesus in the air, and so we will ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, because of this, comfort one another with these words. Brothers and sisters, these are comforting words. All right? He tells us here literally this word comfort. If you look it up, it actually has the meaning of to urge one another, to implore, to exhort, to encourage. Encourage one another to fully come to an understanding that when Jesus comes for the second time, that those who are in the grave are going to be right raised up, and we that are left alive are going to meet with them in the air. Comfort yourselves with these words. What a blessed thing to be with Jesus forever. Then we have event number four. And this is some of what Brother Mike read a few moments ago. Event number four, the earth and the entire universe will be destroyed by fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, and you all know exactly what this means, we're not going to know when it happens. You know, a thief is not going to come up and knock on your door the day before and say, hey, tonight I'm going to come and rob you. Thieves don't do that. They break in when you least expect them to do so. That's how it's going to be at the coming of the Lord. There's not going to be a great voice coming out of heaven and saying, prepare yourselves because I'm coming tomorrow. If that was the case, why would we need to live faithfully every day of our life after we become Christians? Why not wait till the very last moment? We don't. We don't wait till the last moment because the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night without warning. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Now, if Jesus was going to come, and when he does come as a thief in the night, and the heavens going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements, the earth, shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all of its works that are therein shall be burned up. Where is Christ going to establish his kingdom if he was going to come and establish a kingdom on earth? Peter says, when he comes, all of these things, the earth and the heavens, are going to be burned up. And then Peter goes on, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of people should you be? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The word there, conversation, our conduct, our way of life. How should we be living knowing that all of this is going to take place? Knowing that Jesus is going to come at an unexpected moment, a moment that we least expect. And then when he comes, the heavens and the earth are going to melt with fervent heat and everything to be burned up. What type of people should we be? Should we not be faithful, knowing that at any moment this could happen? Event number five. The righteous and the unrighteous will be judged and separated. Matthew 25:31-33. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. This is judgment. This is judgment. When he separates the sheep from the goats, the faithful from the unfaithful. And then we can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Knowing that we're going to be judged according to the things that we've done. For some, that should terrify. We're going to receive according to what we've done. Have we done good or bad? Have we lived faithfully or have we lived sinfully? The righteous and the unrighteous will be judged and separated. You know what the difference is between the sheep and the goats? Yeah, I know they're two different animals. But the difference between the sheep and the goats is blood. The blood of Christ. Because through the blood of Christ, we have the forgiveness of sin. We are God's flock, sheep. But the goats, they've never received that blood. They've never received that forgiveness. Or maybe they have, but yet the pull of the world was so strong that they went back into the world. The righteous and the unrighteous will be judged. Again, I read nothing here where it talks about Christ establishing a kingdom on the earth, on the throne of David. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So which should we be? Sheep or goats? Number six. Event number six. The faithful will be granted entrance into heaven. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, you remember what it talked about here? It talks about separation of the sheep from the goats, from the right hand on the left hand. Right hand sheep, the left hand goats. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, the sheep, those covered by the blood of Christ, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like to have that entrance into the kingdom that's been prepared for the faithful. And then event number 7. The unfaithful. The goats. Those outside of Christ. Those that have not the blood of Jesus Christ. The unfaithful will be cast into hell and punished forever. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you read that? It says here that those who are on the left hand, they are to depart from the presence of God. And they were going to be cast into everlasting fire. But here's what's interesting. Did you notice what hell was created for? Not God's created creatures, us, but that's where some are going to end up. But hell was created, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for us. But some will go there because they have failed in receiving the blood of the Lamb. The unfaithful will be cast into hell and punished forever. Revelation 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Brothers and sisters, that's not for us. That's not for us. We should remain faithful because we know that at any moment Jesus is going to return. It's not going to be broadcast. But Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. Let's hope he doesn't catch us unprepared. And again, in light of all of these future certainties, what kind of people should we be? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation or conduct, way of life, and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire and shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What type of people should we be, knowing that all of this is going to take place? That one day, unexpectedly, Christ is going to come. We're going to stand before his judgment seat. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep going into paradise and the goats into everlasting fire. So the question is this. Where are you going to go? Are you a sheep? Or are you a goat? Are you a goat in